time to bomb Iran. Yes, it's time to bomb Iran. Why? Because it's an election year. Of course, everybody knows that. If it's an election year, we've got to talk about bombing Iran, don't we? Hey, good evening, good afternoon, wherever we are, truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, broadcasting once again the penultimate edition for us this week of the Mike Malloy Show. Penultimate, by the way, means second to last, in case you were wondering. For Mike, he's out on vacation, enjoying a much-needed vacation. He'll be back with you Monday, so your long national nightmare will soon be over, at least on these, your public airwaves. We are broadcasting from KTalk AM 1150 in beautiful downtown Burbank, and it's a lovely, lovely day out here in Los Angeles. As I was going to say, the sun is setting, but it's not this time of year. We're almost at the longest day of the year, right? Yeah. On the East Coast, it must be dark by now. What do I know? Anyway, glad you could join us tonight. Another big show. We will, yes, of course, an election year, so we've got to talk about bombing Iran. Why? Because Bill Kristol and Liz Cheney want to do it, so we all have to talk about it. God, the media is stupid. Our phone number tonight is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Try to take as many of your phone calls as I can. We have several guests coming up on the show soon enough. Justin Elliott from ProPublica. We're going to talk about, you know, because this money thing is getting insane. We knew it was insane. We knew it would be insane as of January 2010 when the Supreme Court found, as they did in the Citizens United case. But now it's getting, well, you know, I can't even say worse than anybody imagined, because many of us did imagine this. Many of us wrote about it that afternoon when the stupid ruling came out from the Supreme Court. Now you've got Sheldon Adelson, whoever this jerk is, saying that his pro-Romney donations will be, quote, limitless. And he's worth $34 billion. So when he says limitless, I think he means limitless. We've also got a chat room open right now at the Brad Blog. Please stop on by. And, it's much more fun when you listen along with the chat room. Go to bradblog.com, the very top item there, and click through where it says click here to jump into our live chat room during the show. We would love to see you there. Am I there? Yeah, okay, good. I'm there. Oh, Four Earth is there. Jeannie Dean is back, our old favorites. Cambridge Knitter, oh, she's early tonight. Dez and Margo, of course, are in there helping us moderate. And you can tweet me throughout the night, and I mean that in the nicest way, at the Brad Blog. That's the Brad Blog on the Twitters. Okay, well, let me jump right in. Oh, wait, I didn't give you. Okay, so let's see. Justin Elliott from ProPublica. All of my guests tonight are about money, 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 money in politics. Justin Elliott is working over at ProPublica on their effort to get the TV stations to put their public records online. We're talking about the broadcast television stations, their public records, which are open to the public, to put them online, because right now, if you want to find out who is spending what on your airwaves for these political ads, you've actually got to go down to the TV station and say, can I please see the public files? And they must show them to you, by the way, because broadcast television and broadcast radio are supposed to be serving in the public interest. They have their licenses, thanks to the FCC, thanks to we the people who let them use our airwaves, our public airwaves. And so in exchange, they serve the public interest. Among that public interest is to show us who is buying these ads, these political ads, how much they're paying on their stations. Well, the FCC has passed a new rule that would take effect in July that will require these television stations to take their already public records and, you know, do something as simple as scan them and put them online. Not even make them searchable, just scan them and put them online. And not even all the television stations, just the top 50 or those in the top 50 television markets. In other words, the ones who can afford to do it. But the Republicans don't want them to. And so in Congress right now, the Republicans are trying to pass an amendment that will essentially make it such that the FCC cannot enforce this new rule. Now, why would the Republicans not want the television stations who are serving in the public interest to put the public files on the online so the public could see them? We will talk to Justin Elliott about that. We'll also talk to reporter, journalist, Sue, and filmmaker Sue Wilson about whether it was money that made the difference up in Wisconsin for Scott Walker and as well her efforts to encourage folks to go to radio stations and TV stations to inspect those public files, which the Republicans are trying to keep the stations from having to show to the public. Got that? Also, John Wellington Ennis, another filmmaker. We'll talk about his new film, Pay to Play, about this insane world, this insane post-Citizens United world. You know, I know that people look at this landscape and they think, why bother? Why? This is absolutely insane. The corporations have taken over. I remember years ago, I used to come on the air and I would talk about the corporatocracy. And people would say, what? What's a corporatocracy? You know, and they didn't understand that it was the corporations who we had to look out for. No, it's not big government. It's the corporations. The corporations are buying the government. If you get the corporations out of the government, out of our elections, out of our campaigns, then we, the people, can take over the government again, and it can start making sense. And we can decide how big is too big for our government. Is it too big for the government to go in and tell women what medical procedures they may or may not have? Yes, I believe it is. So in that respect, yes, I'm against big government. Yes, I am conservative. Is the government too big when it tells you who you may or may not marry? Yes, I believe it is. So in that respect, I'm against big government, and I am the conservative one here. Anybody got a problem with that? You can call me at 877-520-1150. All right, I will get back to that in a moment. Did I get all the guests for tonight? Yeah, okay. So they're coming up in a little bit. For now, it's just you and me, and I'm glad we're together. Or I should say you and me and Bill Kristol and Liz Cheney, because they want to bomb Iran again.
Iran's development of a nuclear weapon, I believe, is unacceptable. We do want to make sure that by the end of this year, we've actually seen a serious process move forward.
President Obama has spent 4 years talking. Iran has spent 4 years building a secret nuclear site, nuclear fuel near weapons level, long-range missiles. Obama is still talking, and Iran has enough fuel for 5 nuclear bombs. Talking isn't working. It's time to act before it's too late.
Yes. Oh, there's a bomb at the end. Talking isn't working. It's time to start acting. We must bomb Iran. That message brought to you from the Emergency Committee for Israel, who released that new ad suggesting that the U.S. should bomb Iran immediately. Of course, the Emergency Committee for Israel is nothing more than pretty much just Bill Kristol and Liz Cheney. That's what they do. That's what these idiots do. Yes, we should bomb Iran. And by the way, they had the good common sense to put out that message in the same week that the 2,000th American has died in the Afghanistan war. The U.S. military reached an unfortunate milestone in Afghanistan on Wednesday. 2,000 Americans have died in Operation Enduring Freedom. Since it began, the Star Tribune in 2001, the Star Tribune reports that Marine Corporal Taylor J. Bone of Andover, Minnesota, was killed in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. Bowne had married his wife just 3 months prior to his deployment. And, of course, President Obama has signed an agreement pledging to pull military forces out of the country in 2014. Well, sort of, at least by 2024. So now we've lost 2,000 in Afghanistan. Actually, iCasualties.org has the number at 2,009 U.S. troops lost since 2001. More and more pretty much each and every year. Add that, of course, to the 4,486 U.S. troops lost in Iraq. That's, let's see, about about 6,500 U.S. troops have died. Feel safer now? J Street President Jeremy Ben-Ami responded to this horrible Bill Kristol ad by saying, "The people who pushed for war with Iraq are now bent on starting a war with Iran. The security of the United States and of Israel is too important to stand idly by while some of Mitt Romney's biggest supporters press for another war. Preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon is a key U.S. and Israeli national security interest. That's why Americans and Israelis, including prominent national security experts in both countries, support the crippling sanctions and diplomacy that have been the heart of President Obama's policy." Yes, even the Israelis are against, at least the sane ones in Israel, are against bombing Iran. But that's not enough for Liz Cheney. That's not enough for Liz, always wrong Cheney. Bill, always wrong Kristol, who want to send your men and women to die. Brad on the Malloy Show. Stay tuned. Well, I'll cheer you up in a bit.
This town had never before traveled abroad. Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
Yeah, that's for you. That's for you, Bill Kristol. That's for you, Liz Cheney, and the Emergency Committee for Israel. Man, you guys are pathetic. Man, are you guys pathetic. And by the way, thanks to J Street President Jeremy Ben-Ami for pushing back against this new 30-second ad calling for war. I can't believe it's taken them so long. Why, you know, why aren't they talking every day about bombing Iran? It's an election year, don't you? Isn't that what we have to do now every year, year after year, no matter how many times, no matter how long these jerks have been wrong about everything else? Bill Kristol and Liz Cheney. We'll play some Green News Report later on in the show. On today's Green News Report, we've got a piece where Liz Cheney is talking about just a couple of months ago how gas prices were going to be about $8 this summer, thanks to Obama. But you would only hear that, you would only know that, if you listened to the right television stations. Of course, she was on Fox News at the time. And, of course, the price of gas has been plummeting ever since. So how many times does this woman have to be wrong before she's no longer allowed on the airwaves? How many times does Bill Kristol have to be wrong before he's no longer allowed on the airwaves? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're only allowed on Fox News as it is. Actually, that's not true. I think ABC puts both of them on all the time. Go figure. The Emergency Committee for Israel's reflexive hawkishness stems from it. This is from, I think, Progress Security. Stems from its hard-right neocon disposition. The organization was even born in the same Washington office as the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq, a short-lived right-wing pressure group that pushed for an Iraq invasion. And if that invasion, and if that doesn't give you confidence, ECI, whose board members and directors have a history of exhorting acts of violence, ignores U.S., UN, and Israeli intelligence findings in their efforts for yet another U.S. war in the Middle East. This time with Iran. In Israel, meanwhile, a growing consensus has emerged among former top security officials that a military strike on Iran's nuclear facilities would be counterproductive to Israeli interests. And a report last month suggests that the consensus opposing an Israeli attack on Iran extends all the way to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's defense chiefs. A recent report from an influential Washington security think tank said attacking Iran could backfire. Oh, do you think? What could possibly go wrong? Speaking of what could possibly go wrong, there's Sheldon Adelson. Forbes confirms billionaire Sheldon Adelson, along with his wife Miriam, have donated $10 million to the leading super PAC supporting presumptive Republican nominee Mitt Romney, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. A well-placed source in the Adelson camp has direct knowledge of the casino billionaire's thinking and says that further donations will be, quote, limitless. Adelson is worth, actually, $24.9 billion. I think I said 34, but $24.9 billion. And told Forbes in a recent rare interview about his political giving that he had been willing to donate as much as $100 million to his initial presidential preference, Newt Gingrich. And that limitless description telegraphs potential nine-digit support of Mitt Romney. How's that Citizens United decision working out for you? How's your democracy working out for you? How's your Constitution working out for you? How's we the people going out there, right-wingers? Y'all happy about this? The $10 million donation he just made to Romney is equivalent to $40 for an American family with a net worth of $100,000. You got that? This is nothing to him. That's your country. That's your democracy. What are you going to do about it? We'll talk about it straight ahead. Brad on Molloy. Yeah, change your evil ways. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Bill Kristol. Getting it out of my system. Getting out of my system early. And then we can relax for the last couple of hours, right? Coming up in a few minutes, Justin Elliott of ProPublica. Also, you can call us if you like, 877-520-1150. I'll try to hit a phone call or two in a moment, 877-520-1150, talking about Sheldon Adelson and the quote-unquote limitless money he may give to Mitt Romney this year. Now that he's allowed to, now that Citizens United has opened the door up to unlimited money in politics. The man is worth $24.9 billion. Romney is positioned to reap, this is from Forbes, Romney is positioned to reap Adelson's largesse thanks to Citizens United. There are no curbs on how much Adelson could give the pro-Romney super PAC, Restoring Our Future. Given that he's one of the 15 richest people in the world, the Sands chairman could personally bankroll the equivalent of an entire presidential campaign, say, $1 billion or so, and not even notice. The $10 million donation he just made to Romney is equivalent to $40 for an American family with a net worth of $100,000. Okay, so you've got a net worth of $100,000 out there. You ever give $40 to a candidate? Think nothing of it? That's just like Sheldon Adelson giving $10 million. Just like you given 40. And there's no difference. Because everybody knows that money is free speech. Silly you. Adelson, ironically, has made more money during the Obama administration than just about any other American. Of course he has. Based on Forbes tabulations. He had previously told me, that's Steve Bertone who has this exclusive, he had previously told me that just because he made money under Obama, it doesn't mean he thinks the president is doing the right thing. Adelson says, quote, what scares me is the continuation of the socialist-style economy we've been experiencing for almost 4 years. That scares me because the redistribution of wealth is the path to more socialism and to more of the government controlling people's lives. Just, you know, what's socialism? What's socialism? What the hell are you talking about? Government spending is down. Government spending is lower now than it has been since, what, the last five presidents, six presidents. What's socialism? How stupid are you people? Why is it that the stupid people are the billionaires? 877-520-1150, if you've got an answer to that question. God, I believe that people, this is back to Sheldon, I believe that people will come to their senses and not extend the current administration's quest to socialize this country. It won't be a socialized democracy because it won't be a democracy. God, he's an idiot. But it is a democracy if you can give $10 million a pop to any damn candidate you want. Just like $40 to you and me. Well, to those of you who have $100,000 net worth. Not me. Meanwhile, Li Fang notes correctly from Republic Report. He tweeted, I saw him this afternoon, that, quote, the media is rightfully intrigued by Adelson's $36 million in donations so far this year. Why doesn't anyone care about insurers spending $107 million in 2010 on ads? Good point, Lee. We care. That's why we're going to be talking to Justin Elliott about almost exactly that in a few minutes, and then Sue Wilson after that, and then John Wellington Ennis after that, all about money in politics. But let me grab a few very quick calls here while I can. Robert in Long Island, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Well, you know, a comment about, see, there's a reason why I don't get involved in politics like I used to, because what kind of language can we use on your show, sir?
What's your question, Robert?
Well, my thing is this. I don't know. What sort of language can we use? Is satellite radio?
No. You have, keep your, we've got our finger on the dump button. You cannot use, keep it clean, sir.
All right, let me just put it this way.
Okay.
You see, the people on my side, you know, it's amazing. Their naivety, it's amazing how weak they are. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like they figure if it makes sense, if it's intelligent, everybody's going to see it. It's
people,
amazing.
Robert, people on my side, what side are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about the liberal, left wing, the Democrat. I dropped out because I realized a long time ago, I said, you're the people that are going to fight beside me? Let me put it to you this way. I'm going to tell you something I read today which blows my mind. The Republicans, as we know, they're ruthless. They'll do what they want, when they want, how they want. And they'll step on you, period. Now, my point is they're raising billions, probably by the time the election comes with the super PAC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only can Democrats and Obama not keep up, there are Democrats who will not give to super PACs because they don't think they should exist.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting on principle. Mm-hmm. They're willing to let this election go by. They're willing to let this happen because they're sitting on principle. How much more naive, how farther in the liberal, how far much further in the ivory tower do you have to sit instead of saying they play dirty, we play dirty. Let's fight them at their own.
No, well, listen, all right, Robert. I hear you. The fact of the matter is, apparently giving the super PACs is no longer playing dirty. I understand what they are thinking, but they, like the Democrats, like the Democratic Party, who is all of a sudden yesterday, talked about a story that the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee is saying, yes, Democrats, please, please now give to the super PACs, give to the third parties. We really need you to do it. So, you know what? They want to jump in. Now, they're jumping in 2 years too late, and all of those Democrats who didn't want to give money to super PACs, why the hell weren't they giving money to organizations who are trying to do something about Citizens United? And why weren't the Democrats doing something about Citizens United every damn day if they had to? Using their bully pulpit, standing out on the stairs of the Capitol every damn day if they had to, and making statements and organizing and pushing forward an amendment and, moving to impeach Clarence Thomas, by the way, the scofflaw sitting on the Supreme Court. Why weren't they doing that? So I think, Robert, I think we're in agreement here. You know what? But standing on the sidelines, as you suggest, and by the way, I don't believe you because you called in, so you're not on the sidelines. Standing on the sidelines doesn't change anything. That doesn't mean you need to go out and support Democrats. I'm not telling you to do anything other than to not stand on the sidelines, to get involved, to make noise, to use your public airwaves as you did in this case, but raise holy hell. Fix the system. I'm so tired of people saying, oh, it's so terrible, there's nothing we can do. Anyway, let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. Gary, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for talking about the voting and stuff, because I think part of the problem we have on the left is that people want to do it one way and they don't want to unite like the right is. And I think it's like when the Vietnam War protests came about, it was unions and it was anti-war people, and a lot of different groups got together and changed things. So I think we're going to have to come together and find a common thread so we don't go off and disenfranchise ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And what should that common thread be, Gary?
Well, like you were talking about, like when Mark Taylor Canfield called up and said, you know, the occupiers aren't really interested in the politics or election stuff. I think that you can have that opinion, but you also should, you know, unless you're coming up with something that can overwhelm that, which I would be in favor of, but I haven't heard anything so far. You should try to find a way that you can run. He suggested he might run, which I think would be great. I'd love to vote for an Occupy person.
Yeah, well, we had one running out here in California, and the occupiers didn't really want to rally around him, and I just don't understand that. I've talked about that the last couple of nights, and caught some hell from some people who think I'm painting with too broad a brush. So I don't want to say that all the occupiers don't, but no, it seems to me that the occupiers ought to be putting forward their own candidates in every city in this country. Put forward their own candidates. If they don't like the Republicans or the Democrats, fine, put up your own people. Put them up as Democrats, put them up as Republicans, put them up as an Occupy party. I don't care. Take action. Gary, I got to run. I appreciate your call, sir. All right, let me get to very quickly, and then we're going to go to a break. Arnold Arnold in North Carolina. Hey, Arnold, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Oh, it's Arnold again. Oh, good. Hey, very quickly, brother, I got to get to a break here. Give me your best shot.
Allison was crazy what he said, because Barack Obama's the last day he's a socialist. I wish he was, had any kind of socialism in his system, you know. But the thing of it is, you know, we are lost because we've been looped. Being looped around, and they are. I mean, we stood there and watched all this thing go by happening, and the people just did absolutely nothing.
Well, that's
and it's going to be a change made, but I don't know whether it's going to be a social change or maybe mob scene up in the streets. It's just going to have to come down to that. You know?
It's going to happen, Arnold. We'll figure it out. I got today and tomorrow left on this show. We'll save the world by the end of the week. Don't worry, Arnold. I got to jump to a break. I appreciate your thought. Quite a socialist, that Obama. He has presided over the largest corporate profits in the history of this nation, in the history of mankind. Man, that's the kind of socialism that you'd think these capitalists would love. How much more do you people want? All right, coming back with Justin Elliott. Here's something you can do to take action. Stay tuned. Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Friedman here on the Mike Malloy Show, Brad of BradBlog.com. Having trouble getting in touch with Justin Elliott. We will keep trying, and we'll sort of push all our guests back if we have to. He's from ProPublica.org. One that we look forward to. If we get him, we'll jump right in with him. But he has been writing, and ProPublica has been running a campaign over there to try to free up the files at your TV stations. We talked a little bit last night about the California Disclose Act that needs a single Republican to sign on up here in Sacramento. And all it will do is require that the top three funders of any political TV ad say so at the end of the ad. The top three funders for this ad are ExxonMobil, the Chamber of Commerce, and God knows who else. And put their logos up there. Not a single Republican will sign on to that up in Sacramento, out here in California. You know, when Citizens United was passed, they talked about those in favor, and the majority talked about that, you know, transparency is good. And the free market, well, you know, people can't just give money and not be held accountable for it. When people see all this money going out, they'll hold those people accountable if they don't agree with them. Well, no, they won't, because they were also allowed to hide that money in super PACs, hide that money in television ads. Now, there's a way to find out who is funding all of those television ads. You can walk down or drive down to your television station and say, I would like to see your public files. Please show me your political public files. They have to show them to you because they are given a license by we the people, we socialists, who give them the airwaves, our public airwaves to use. And in exchange for that, they have to tell us how they're using them, who is buying these ads on their stations. Now, the FCC has passed a new rule that will go into effect, or should go into effect, in July, that will require the public stations in the top 50 markets to put the public files online, to scan them and put them online. So they won't even be searchable. It won't even be a database. That's not even being required of them. All they've got to do is scan the public files, put them online, so we can go and look at them. And even that, they are fighting, because they want to use your public airwaves. That's right. The television stations, the corporations who own the TV stations and the radio stations, you know, those corporate socialists who are using our public airwaves to lie to you, to tell you that it's time to bomb Iran or whatever crap Liz Cheney and Bill Kristol want to lie to you about. Right. Those people have public files, those corporations. They're not people. Sorry, Mitt. They're not people. They're corporations. But they have public files, and they're fighting putting them online so that we, the people, can see them, even though they're already public. So right now, you got to go down and look at the files. Now, the Republicans in the House, specifically, there was a hearing in March, as Justin Elliott writes. Rep. Joanne Emerson, Republican from Missouri, chair of the Financial Services and General Government Subcommittee of the House Appropriations Committee, grilled FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski about the then proposal that would take away the funding from the FCC that would be used to enforce this requirement for these files to be posted online so we the people could see it. Yes, all the Republicans on this committee voted to block the funding for this little rule, to keep it from going into effect. So Emerson said to Congressman Emerson said to Genachowski, why do you care about this? You have plenty of other things that are far more important to deal with, since we already have a Federal Election Commission who has jurisdiction over campaign finance. Why in the world is this a big priority? Can't you leave the TV stations alone? Leave the giant corporations alone. They fund us. So they had a hearing this past Wednesday, Congressman Hal Rogers, Republican of Kentucky, the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, joined the other Republicans in arguing that the new rule would be overly burdensome for stations. You know, all that scanning of several documents, and then they'll have to upload it. It's exhausting. What does it matter? Who cares if Sheldon Adelson gives $1 billion all by himself to Mitt Romney? Who cares? Why do we need to know that? It's burdensome. God, this is what this country has become. And we've watched it. We've let it happen. Yes, we've let it happen. The occupiers, they tried to do something about it, and they got a face full of pepper spray as thanks. And the jerks on the right, who pretend to be against big government, were cheering the big government when they were beating the crap out of the peaceful occupiers. Jackasses like Andrew Breitbart were cheering the police. We're cheering the big government. It's a crazy world we live in, ain't it? All right, when we come back, we're going to speak with Sue Wilson, extending what we had hoped to, unless we hear from Justin Elliott, then we'll move things around. But we wanted to talk to Sue about a similar issue that we were going to talk to Justin about the public files, because it doesn't just refer to TV. It also refers to radio. And your local radio station would love to see you, and they would love to show you their public files, their public political files. Just ask the folks up there in Wisconsin who were looking at those public political files during the recall effort up there, and imagine what they found out. Well, you won't have to imagine anymore. We're going to go to Sue Wilson to talk about exactly that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Big show ahead. Stay with us.